Well, good morning. Man, isn't it been a beautiful weekend? Awesome, fantastic. We thank God for the rain, but we also thank God for the beauty of blue skies and sunshine this morning. As you guys get settled in, probably some of you know about this, but maybe not all of you know. Tomorrow night at the restaurant called Sweet Potatoes, for Russell's, one of my favorite restaurants, and I know Russell loves it too, the Savannah Care Center. If you go there and eat, 10% of all that's taken, 5%? 50%? Wow, I didn't read that email closely. 50% of all they take in will be donated directly to the Savannah Care Center. If you don't know where Sweet Potatoes is, it's located on Waters Avenue, really close to between Stevenson and Eisenhower. And there's no set time to be there. Just whenever they serve dinner, you can go there and eat. Enjoy that blessing of being together and also knowing that you're going to be blessing someone else that you may never meet through a donation that you're going to be making to them. So that's Sweet Potatoes tomorrow night, Savannah Care Center. And doing that. Yes, that's where Gwen Jenkins directs that and watches, oversees that and so forth. So great opportunity to bless them, okay? So hopefully you can make it tomorrow night. That's great. I'm glad you told me that 50%. I did not realize that. Wow. Let's see, anything else that I need to tell you guys about? I can't. Lynn Whitmore's brother Butch passed away a couple days ago. The funeral was yesterday. Today, okay, the funeral's today. They'll be coming back from Alabama for that. So keep her in their prayers. Battling cancer for a while, but pray God's blessing, grace and mercy on that family this morning. Anything else? Anything else? Can't think of anything else. Had a good time at the baptism last week. God blessed us, kept the weather away. Do you realize that opening that God blessed us with? As soon as we left, the rain came and the storms came. So I hope you acknowledge that, okay? And it rained, yeah, it rained a lot before we got there. And so forth. It's a good thing because Dusty was prepared to stand on that beach no matter what and do that baptism last week. It's just too easy sometimes. It's just too easy. All right. No, do you realize how calm the water was? If you weren't there with us last week, that water was like a lake. Man, it was hardly any movement. When Rick and I went out there, we didn't have to worry about losing anybody. No undertow, and it was a great time. So, I'm gonna. Yeah, have a great opportunity to witness. And I just love being out there. I don't get out in the ocean as much as I used to because I keep watching Shark Week on Discovery Channel. So it encourages to be out there with others. Yes, that's right. They caught a hammerhead off the beach. Yeah. Is that how big that was? Golly. That's a big shark. So, well, let me pray for us. And then John's got a little video, but I want to set it up before John plays it. So let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your presence this morning. Father, we acknowledge you as the one true living God. Father, it is good to know that you, your will, and all things that are associated with you are unshakable and movable. Lord, it's good to know you are not moody, that you do not tire, you do not grow weary. Father, you're always full of joy. Father, you always lead with your love. Father, you're quick to extend forgiveness. Lord, we live in grace. And I thank you for all those things today. Father, we ask that, Father, we will be pleasing to you all day long. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you're with us last Sunday, title of last Sunday's was basically squeezing God into our lives. And that was kind of the basic gist of last week. And this week, I kind of look at it as we're kind of continuing that in a way. Today's title is a little too comfortable. And the great picture John had for us. John vetoed my suggestion of using Dusty and Rick sleeping. But I was voting for those pictures. There were many to choose from, but John decided to go with that this morning. But last week, as we talked about squeezing God into our lives and how all that works itself out, I just felt this was kind of like a continuation of that this morning. And the title of it is A Little Too Comfortable. As believers in the kingdom of God, in our country, in the times that we live in, that we can rest in the Lord, but we do not have permission to be lazy in the Lord. Big difference. Big difference. And so, John, if you want to cue up the video, and Mickey, you want to hit the lights, or Carol, hit the lights back there. We'll watch the video and go from there.
Jesus, I am so excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I am so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh, man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I've got something perfect for you, so let's get started. What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want? What? $50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. You drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay. Okay, you know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
Mm, and I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, Kat, the problem is you're too comfortable.
John, go ahead and put up the first slide there. Complacency is a blight that saps energy, dulls attitudes, and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with things as they are. The second is rejection of things as they might be. Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown, mistrust the untried, and abhor the new. Like water, complacent people follow the easiest course, downhill. They draw false strength from looking back. I didn't make that up. I found that somewhere. But I thought it spoke a lot to me, and I pray that it speaks a lot to you this morning. Because one of the things about all of that is it's true. It's very true. And one of the things that I would ask you to consider this morning, are you captive to being too comfortable? Are you captive to the way of life, even if it's a struggle, even if there's ups and downs, even if at times you think you can't go on? Are you captive to being so comfortable with things will never change? Because we all know sitting here this morning that we have truth in us, that we claim the truth, that we serve a sovereign God and all that goes with it. But we also know that outside these walls and outside this physical address, that there's a hurting, dying, lost world. We know that. You don't have to be told that at all. You know, as well as I know, there are ample places to put our hands to the plow and not look back. You know that. I know that. But we also have to recognize another truth in our culture, the church culture in America, and that is we are captive to being too comfortable. We are way too captive to being too comfortable. John, go ahead and put up the next slide. Revelation 3:15. Jesus had a letter to the church at Laodicea. And this was the easiest part of that we all know so well. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were neither one or the other. Or you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And then this is what Jesus is saying in John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. This morning, this isn't about works. This is about obedience. This isn't about doing something just to do something. It's about seeing the kingdom of God be a reality in the places that you and I go, the people we meet. And just like I told you last week when we were talking about squeezing God either out of our lives or trying to squeeze Him in for a few minutes a day, it shows. It's apparent. It cannot be hidden. It is a reality in each of our lives. And that first one, I believe, is very accurate for where the church in America stays very often. I also believe that little video is very accurate too. And that last one, though, I put the John 5:19 up there for a lot of reasons. But Jesus is saying, in essence, I'm going to do what I see the Father doing because I love Him. And I am close to Him. I am intimate with Him. And I'm not obedient because I have to. I'm obedient because I'm in a relationship with Him. And we are one. And because we are one, as He moves, I move. As He does, I do. As I think, as He thinks, I think. And that's so important. Because our comfort level is not based on convenience. Our comfort level is based on, are we doing the will of the Father? And it's a high standard. It's a high calling. So my first little simple question for you is, what's the attitude of most Christians toward their own comfort? Part of this too, I want to point out to you is, yours is closer than mine. You might be comfortable with reading 5 minutes. And God's saying, I want you to get comfortable with hearing my voice through the Word. Big difference. Big difference. And so I want you to realize, I'm not just talking about mentoring somebody, using that video, mentoring somebody that you're not comfortable with, or witnessing somebody you're not comfortable with, or even doing something you're not comfortable with. I'm talking about there are some simple things the American church has decided that is just too much for them. And I think some of it is some of the most simple things. Back to spending time with the Father and allowing Him to minister to us. That can move us way past the comfort level, can't it? It does me. I don't know about you, but it does me. But hearing His voice, just too much. Being in the body, it's just too much. And I don't want to confuse this with just outside works. I want you to understand it's the totality of every part of what God might be saying to us. Back to the attitude. When I was thinking about this yesterday, I got to thinking, just like Rick pointed out, the people that are mentioned in the Word, but I got to thinking about all those people that we like to tell those stories about that are, we call them kind of like heroes of the faith. The other night at youth, one of the kids was talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the gentleman from World War II that gave his life at the hands of the Nazis for not giving up his faith. And we like to tell those kinds of stories, but the stories that we tell about them, it wasn't just that one time for them. You see, that's what speaks to me about all that. Is for him, it wasn't just that point in time. It was his life. He had decided that following the will of God wasn't just for a grand moment that they were going to write a story about him, but it was a day-to-day, I'm in it all the way, all the time. Big difference. So all those people that we kind of put up on pedestals, and they did. They gave up their lives, or they gave up a lot. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't just the stories that we tell about them. It was what happened on the inside that affected the outside. Any more on the attitude of Christians toward their own comfort? Are we supposed to have peace with everything that God's calling us to do? Something to think about. How does these attitudes affect their relationship, talking about the Christians, with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the body, and the world? How does it affect our interaction with all these different relationships that we have? Yeah, making the decision based on, is it going to inconvenience me? All right? Being hungry for the Lord. All right? Yeah, I believe that attitude of our expectations from others is much greater than what we expect to give to others. So, yeah, and I agree. We start with, you know, we expect God to come through every time just like we want Him to come through. How else does that attitude affect the relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the body, and the world? I hope that, I know for me, the next time I eat popcorn and watch TV, I'll be thinking of that video probably. One of the things I want to hear more from you on this, but one of the things I want you to realize is none of that is separate. We have to just not acknowledge and say, yeah. We have to say, yes, and I receive it as truth. The relationship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, His body, and the world we live in, it's all part that affects one affects the other. And that's kind of what you're saying, Leslie, and it's what I think Russell's saying too. But how often do we leave here and we put it in our little easy-to-fit-in compartments? John, go ahead and go to the next one, please. Same scriptures at the top. And we've alluded to some of this already. What's God used to challenge our comfort? What's God used to challenge your comfort? My comfort? Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. Not letting us just kick back. I don't know how many of you know this. I know that some of you probably know this. Atlanta, Georgia is the number one place for sex trafficking. And they do a lot of trafficking of male and females. But our little old city here contributes a lot to the sex trafficking that takes place in Atlanta. So probably any given day while we're sitting, even at the places that maybe we didn't want to be that day, probably in our ports on 95, the bus station, the train station, there was some young person, male or female, that against their will be forced to do all those unimaginable acts, or they'll be shipped somewhere else. And the only reason why I tell you that, say that to you at that moment, is we cannot continue to live under an illusion that things are okay. Okay? And sometimes I get so mad at other things that I realize that I wasn't mad at what I thought I was mad at. I'm mad at me. I often think to myself when I hear that story, I think, man, if I could just have a couple minutes with an individual that's doing that I have no intention of sharing the good news of Christ, okay, that there'll be one less scumbag on the earth to have to deal with, that I get so angry. But I get angry at that, and then I think, but dang, when was the last time that you took time to pray against the forces of evil that are contributing to what man is doing? I think something that God uses to challenge our comfort all the time is because some of us are professional news junkies. All right? That some of that we hear, we read about, it isn't just information. It's an opportunity to cry out to God. It's an opportunity to see our neighbor that you know is going through a tough situation to cry out to God. God may actually surprise you. He may not ask you to do anything. Or me. He may say, Dane, I just need you crying out according to how I want you to pray for this individual or this situation. So, Forrest, that's what pricked in my heart when you said Holy Spirit. What else has God used to challenge our comfort? John, go ahead and put the last one up. I just want to go ahead and put this up. You guys can share whatever you feel being led to share. What fruits produce in a Christian's life when they're most interested in their own comfort? Compare that to what fruit is produced in a Christian's life when most interested in the will of the Father. I used to think when I read that passage about Jesus being led out in the desert and having to fast for 40 days, I thought, man, how tough that has to be. He was in the wilderness, not eating, basically all alone. I mean, no human contact. Man, how tough that has to be. But when you read the follow-up passages, and when the tempter came, when the adversary came, and that little bit about turning stones into bread, he says, doing the will of the Father is all I need to eat. I realized something. I don't think that was too uncomfortable for Jesus in the desert from the physical standpoint that we picture. Because I think the most important relationship for him was all he needed to be satisfied. And you think about somebody in your life that you love and you can't wait to see them. And you've been so excited that you didn't think about what to eat, did you? Because the relationship was so much more important than all the other external things. So that little bit about what fruits produce in the Christian's life when most interested in the will of the Father, well, you have to start with, do you know the Father? What do you think about that? Hey, John, put that quote back up there for me, would you? Please. Thank you. I just want you to read that one more time. And then I want you to think about the will of the Father. I want you to think about Jesus said He does what He sees His Father doing. And then I want you to take a moment silently to yourself between the Father and you as the Holy Spirit pricks your heart to confess today before God whatever He tells you. Examine yourself. I'll be praying for us. But I want you to think about this as you leave. As you go to the next thing. For Jesus, and for all these others that we hold in such high regard, while except for Jesus, they weren't perfect, I believe they looked at life and following the will of the Father as something that was non-negotiable. Kind of like what you were saying, Stephen. Following the Father's will really isn't an option. Although we act like it, it's really not an option. How much joy do we miss because we've chosen to make it an option? So I'm going to pray. I'll spend a few moments listening to what the Spirit says to us. Father, we are in Your presence right now. Father, thank You for not holding back Your love, Your forgiveness, Your grace and Your mercy, and blessings that, God, we could not count if we spent the next years counting the blessings that we've had. Lord, we are rich beyond measure. Father, forgive me when I look at following You as an option. Father, forgive me when I have looked at and tried to pick and choose what I wanted to do and not do. Lord, we claim grace and mercy in our lives this morning. Thank You that You sent a perfect Savior to take it all the way. Father, I would pray today that at least the ones sitting in here, we would have a brokenness about us. That there's a visible difference from this point forward in our actions, our mind, our attitudes. Father, how we open up Your Word. Lord, how we open up the newspaper, how we read things about what's going on. May we celebrate and see You work. And Father, I would pray that we will not use world standards and place them upon You. Forgive us of that, Father. Father, You are the most precious thing. Thank You for the relationship today, Jesus. Lord, I would ask of You today that seeds that are of God would find fertile soil. Lay all this before You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray all this for You. Amen.